Welcome to another episode of the Royal College of Psychiatrists podcast. I'm Daniela, a General Adult Psychiatry Registrar and Secretary of the Psychiatric Trainees Committee, also known as PTC. In this episode, we are going to explore the theme of our National Trainees Conference, Next Generation Psychiatry. We hope you can join us in Leeds on the 25th and 26th of April to an extended and much better version of this podcast. But in any case, we wanted to bring to all our CPsych audience an opportunity to reflect with us on some of the aspects that we suspect will be relevant to all future psychiatrists. We also will talk to our reps who are organising the conference, Becky and Gwen, and we will talk to our PTC chair and vice chair, Laura and Chiara, and to some of the conference speakers to know a bit more about their views on the future of psychiatry. But to kickstart us in this endeavour, we have invited the Dean of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, Professor Subodh Dave. Subodh, thank you for accepting to join this podcast. I'm looking forward to hear you at the conference, but I wanted to ask you about your views of what psychiatry will look like in the future, and if you foresee any changes in training or maybe areas, capabilities associated with it.
Hi everyone, I'm Subodh Dave, I'm the Dean of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to the annual conference of the Psychiatric Trainees Committee, which is Next Generation Psychiatry, aptly titled, I think, as we think about the future of psychiatry. I see two main areas, and I think both of these areas we've covered in our new curricula. So one is personalized psychiatry. I think the future psychiatrists will be doing even more to personalize their assessments, personalize their treatments to the individual patient's context, not just their background, their life history, their social context, but also their genetic makeup, their biochemical makeup, as it were. So I feel that that's one real area of development. And the second area, I think, which again, we put a lot of emphasis in our curricula, is around public and population health. And I think the future psychiatrist will not only be responsible for the care of the individual patients, but will make a difference to the mental health of the communities that they care for. And indeed, we've just launched the public mental health leadership course. Do have a look, because that is the kind of course that will impart the skills that will enable us to make a difference to people at large. So I feel next generation psychiatrists, future of psychiatry is really exciting me. I feel that psychiatry is at the cutting edge of science, not just of medicine. And I feel we will be the branch of medicine that will lead those changes that we make for, you know, individual patients. How do we apply those precision tools to individual patients? And how do we make a difference to the population at large? So look forward to seeing you at the conference. Talk more about what you see as the future of psychiatry.
That's great. Thank you, Subodh. Now, I have with me Dr. Ross Runciman, who is a consultant psychiatrist in Gloucestershire and the Associate Programme Director of the College Leadership and Management Fellowship Scheme. And he's also one of the keynote speakers at the conference. He will be delivering a session on data and digital literacy at the conference. Ross, great to have you for some minutes to talk about your views on the future of psychiatry. I wonder if you could share with us what you think are the emerging areas and competencies that future consultants should develop. There are probably many areas that we can't even predict will be important, but I wonder which ones you see already developing.
Thanks, Daniela, for your really interesting question around what the emerging areas and competencies that future consultants should develop. I've got three that I want to share with you, but before I do that, I just want to look at that word competencies. With the new curricula in 2022, we moved from the word competencies to capabilities. The sense that we had was that capability was something that you could return to over time and develop in a myriad of ways to meet the uncertainty of the future. Whereas perhaps with a competency, one might feel that you achieve it and then you're done. You've passed your driving test, off you go. And our work is much more complex than that. So I wonder if we think through that lens of capabilities going forward. the first thing that I wanted to talk about in terms of that capability for the future is managing uncertainty. Now, although in a clinical sense, that's already embodied in our curricula in HLO 2.3 or High Level Outcome 2.3, entitled Managing Complexity and Uncertainty, beyond the clinical world, we can't predict what's going to happen. However, as psychiatrists, we consciously seek to equip ourselves with the skills to observe, absorb, contain, and reflect. And that's written in our Silver Guide, overseen by John Russell, the architect of our new curricula. And I think those skills that we are already fostering really help us to navigate this uncertainty of the future. The second area I wanted to talk about was all things data and digital. We know in our personal lives with our smartphones or computers that data and digital are really woven into that. I think in healthcare we're working hard to make sure that they can help us deliver better healthcare and equip us with better skills to do the same. But we really need to consciously engage that as future consultants and to think about how we develop those skills to manage the data and use the technology. So areas I think that are can help us in this are, for example, using technology to tackle health inequalities, to help populations that otherwise wouldn't get help with their mental health. Another area I think is making sure that we as a clinician think it's one of our priorities to ensure we are up to date with the data for the patient population that we serve, and then we use the feedback from that data to deliver better care to our patients. I have to say at this point, and can't resist the plug for the Data and Digital Literacy Standards, which list capabilities for all doctors working in mental health, and they're available on the Royal College of Psychiatrists website right now. And over the next few months and years, we're going to be developing teaching resources to help you imbue those capabilities in your work. The final area I want to talk about is of sustainability. Obviously, with the climate crisis, there is sustainability of the way in which we impact the planet, and around healthcare systems do the same. We can't differentiate our health ultimately with that of the planet and the ecosystems that we're dependent on. But I also really want to think about the sustainability of our work. We do a difficult job, and I think we have to have a responsibility to ourselves of making our work going forward into the future more sustainable. And that's really important that we frame that life-work balance and make sure that we are well resourced in all the different ways that we know that we need to be so that we can deliver the best care to our patients. So that's my three. We need to develop those skills in managing uncertainty. We need to develop those capabilities in data and digital literacy. And we really need to emphasize for the future our skills in sustainability, both in terms of the planet, life, and also with work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ross. So now I have Professor Peter Coventry with me, who is a Professor of Environment and Health at University of York. He will deliver a session on nature and mental health at our conference. Thank you so much for accepting our invitation to join in this podcast. I wanted to ask you about which innovative interventions have you heard about in the last few years, which you see as exciting developments that will affect psychiatric practice?
Thanks, Daniela, for the chance to join this podcast. In answer to your question about innovative interventions that might have relevance for psychiatry practice, I've got a couple of things I'd like to flag up that relate directly to my area of research, which is around the intersection of exposure to and engagement with the natural environment and mental health. And the idea of nature prescriptions or nature-based social prescribing is certainly an innovation that has sort of taken root over the last couple of years and allows people to be connected to nature activities via perhaps primary care, or sometimes the prescribing pathway could be through organisations in the VCSE sector. And this gives people opportunities with pre-existing mental health problems to take part in activities in green spaces like parks or forests, or maybe at local community gardens to support their mental health. And that links to the idea of also offering opportunities for people to take part in perhaps more psychotherapeutic nature-based therapies. A good example of that is ecotherapy. And that essentially involves incorporating traditional psychotherapeutic approaches such as CBT alongside doing nature activities outdoors such as horticultural therapy. So I think nature prescriptions that link to more psychotherapeutic approaches are something to sort of keep an eye on. I think there are other options for people to do, for example, more immersive nature-based activities such as forest bathing, which I think is one step removed from a kind of a mindfulness approach. It's not for everybody, and the evidence base is a little bit thinner for that kind of approach, but it's just an indication that there is a range of options depending on people's preferences. And I think one really exciting element here is how we might combine developments in digital mental health, particularly the role of virtual reality technology, to help simulate natural environments and offer people who might not have access to outdoor spaces, for whatever reason, they might live in neighbourhoods that are terribly green, or they might have mental and or physical health problems that limit their capacity to go outdoors or to be with other people in groups. And so there are now emerging technologies that allow us to replicate and provide those nature-based experiences from a space that's more appropriate for that kind of person. So those, I think, are promising tools for us to think about in terms of how they translate to psychiatry going forwards.
Now is the time to talk about the conference. I have with me Dr. Rebecca Long and Dr. Gwen Collin, our amazing conference organisers and PTC reps, for a short discussion about the conference behind this very inspiring theme. So Becky and Gwen, first of all, thank you so much for your hard work in developing this lovely conference. I wonder if you could tell me, you know, what was your inspiration behind this theme and some of the topics you've chosen? Maybe Becky, if you could start.
Oh, well, thank you for having us on the podcast. It has been a wonderful opportunity to curate the conference together alongside the PTC exec team and with college staff. I guess from the outset, we were aware this is a conference for trainees being organised by trainees. So who better to look to for inspiration about content than trainees themselves? So a few months ago, we fielded ideas from trainees across the UK about what they would want to see at the next National Trainees Conference. Luckily for us, lots of great suggestions came in. So then we had the task of grouping them into themes, as that felt an instinctive way to digest them. From that process, it became clear there was an appetite to know more about what's next in psychiatry. For example, what's the interface between psychiatry and digital technology? What's the interface between psychiatry and nature? And then it became apparent there were things about what's new in terms of research and innovative treatments and emerging branches of psychiatry. For example, palliative psychiatry and gambling addiction. As importantly, we wanted to make sure thinking about how we continue to provide optimal care for our patients. So there are sessions at the conference that will give consideration to trauma-informed care approaches, relational prescribing, and also thinking about the unique needs of people who might be refugees, and indeed patients who are in need of the support of gender identity services. Lastly, there is some focus about sustaining ourselves in psychiatry and how to enjoy a diverse and fulfilling career. It's definitely challenging when it comes to thinking of a theme, but in the end, next generation seemed to capture it all. We're really looking forward to welcoming all the delegates and all the confirmed speakers that are kindly giving their time and getting to see all of this planning come to life.
I'm very excited about our national trainee conference. However, for people listening in, why should they book a place to join us in Leeds? What do you think, Gwen?
Thanks very much for inviting us to contribute to the podcast. We're also really excited about the conference, and to be honest, it's hard to know where to start as there's so many reasons to attend. Firstly, we've got a fantastic programme lined up with a range of speakers and contributors from across the UK and working in different areas of mental health. We have consultants speaking from those at the near the beginning of their careers through to those who've worked in the specialty for decades. In addition, we've got trainees and SAS doctors contributing, as well as other professionals, including psychologists, academic and service users and carers. I'm a bit biased, but I think the whole programme looks interesting and it's fantastic because it's specifically tailored to trainees. Perhaps I can give you a few of the highlights that gives you a sense of the range of sessions on offer. And these include the London-based psychiatrist and comedian Benji Waterhouse talking about his experiences, Professor Coventry from York University, who's talking about nature-based interventions for mental health and how the evidence can be put into practice. Then we've got our Dean Subodh Devi talking about workforce wellbeing post-pandemic. We've also got a range of workshops across the 2 days, including one about working as an SAS doctor, how to get articles published, some subspecialty workshops, including gambling addiction and transgender psychiatry, as well as transcultural psychiatry. The conference is going to end with a panel entitled A Life in Psychiatry, which will consist of a number of experienced psychiatrists who are going to share some of their stories and experiences of their career, as well as reflecting on where they see psychiatry as a specialty going forwards. Another benefit of coming to the conference is that delegates are invited to submit posters in line with the conference theme of Next Generation. These will be available for delegates to view online as well as on screens at the venue. This is because we're trying to be paper light for environmental reasons. At the end of the conference, the posters will be judged by a panel and we have a prize of £100 for the winner, which we'll announce at the end. We're also going to have some fringe events, including a yoga session on the Friday morning. Another reason to attend is the opportunity to meet trainees from across the UK. This is one that I really valued when I attended the National Trainees Conference last year in Cardiff. It's an opportunity for people to find out more about the work of the college, and we're pleased to have some of the college officers attending, and specifically the PTC. We're really pleased with the conference venue, which provides modern facilities in a historic building at the centre of Leeds, which is right next to the train station. I'm based in Leeds and I think Leeds as a city is ideally placed with great transport links, a range of accommodation options and lots of different restaurants and nightlife. There's lots of things to visit and see in and around Leeds if delegates want to stay on afterwards, including some beautiful countryside and other historic cities nearby such as York. So I think I've gone on a bit there, but hopefully I've impressed that it's going to be a really informative and enjoyable event at what we think is a great price. So we'll look forward to seeing lots of you there.
Thank you, Becky and Gwen. So now we are coming to the end of our podcast, and I have now Dr. Laura Thorne, our PTC Chair, and Dr. Chiara Catra, our PTC Vice Chair. Welcome. What a fantastic conference Becky and Gwen have planned on behalf of the PTC. Laura, last year you were in their place. What are you more curious about in this year's programme and activities?
Hi Daniela, that's such a hard question. The whole programme looks great. I'm really interested to attend Dr. Felicity Wood's session on palliative care psychiatry and also the Life in Psychiatry panel session too. And I'm excited to see all the posters and the great work trainees from around the country have been doing. I'm really pleased that the SAS committee are joining us to present a workshop too. Massive thanks go to Becky and Gwen, who have dedicated so much time and really have done a fantastic job in putting together an exciting and informative programme, and for linking everything to HLOs too, so we can easily evidence our learning on our portfolio.
We have included lived experience experts in the conference, and this is undoubtedly one of the growing opportunities in psychiatric practice. Chiara, I wonder if you could share with us ways in which you and other trainees are integrating lived experience perspectives in their practice.
People with lived experience of mental illness are an absolutely integral part of our conference, and I think it's a real acknowledgement of the importance of hearing all of the voices at the table. there's a reality to living with mental illness that isn't often acknowledged, where actually the supposedly simple or easy things are often incredibly challenging. And there are things that we can do as individual clinicians, as services, and even as societies to foster all individuals, but particularly those with those extra challenges, to really thrive and grow. I feel incredibly honoured in my day job to meet the most amazing people who often are overcoming barriers and challenges to just keep going, let alone thrive, and to grasp even a tiny understanding of that lived reality. We have to create spaces for those conversations. We are part of a field in psychiatry that is developing and growing in so many ways. I think in scientific understanding, in our ethos, in our practices, but we also have to acknowledge that there's a darker history to our field, and we're part of systems that can cause iatrogenic harms, those little impacts that build and build, of systems that are imperfect in a lot of ways. And we have to acknowledge that. We have to also acknowledge that the risk of those iatrogenic harms only increases as pressures hit. So I'm thinking of financial pressures or staffing, burnout. It's even more important now that we not only listen, but we actively invite experts by experience to the table and ensure that kindness and respect are integral to everything that we do in psychiatry. Those with any experience of mental suffering and the services that we create around that are so critical to developing support systems and structures that work, but also serve individuals, particularly when they're struggling. And we have to pursue that culture of change where harms of exclusion are minimized and where co-production is actually co-produced. I think it's going to be a very long road, but we have to start with integrating and weaving lived experiences into psychiatric practice. And inviting everyone to the table is a massive part of that.
Thanks, Chiara. I think there's another aspect I wanted to ask you about. From your training and your work with the PTC, I wonder if you could tell us about your views on ways of shaping your career to be a rewarding and sustainable career.
Our work is really hard sometimes. And I think most of us care very deeply. We're very impacted by the weight of the lives that we have the real privilege to witness to. Part of our training becomes an ability to hold that suffering and that distress and act despite it. I think there's also a challenge to working within structures that can feel very problematic or under-resourced, and where our work and our training become very, very hard to balance. I think it's also just such an immense privilege, and I've needed to carve out a very creative career path, in part to speak to my own values and in part to make my work sustainable. So through training, I've taken time out to work in some leadership posts with sort of the hope to learn about and try and influence and change systems from within. I think I've also become very passionate about directly and indirectly supporting colleagues. So particularly through work with the Royal College and the Psychiatric Trainees Committee, I've also got quite a few kind of teaching and training roles which bring a lot of challenge and the need to very much keep up to date, and also a lot of joy and sort of seeking to inspire the next generation of people coming through. I feel the conference also speaks to a lot of that passion in the whole committee, that we're all wanting to foster that next generation of research and impetus and change. I also am working towards an LLM, so a Master's in Healthcare Law, I think in part because I feel a massive responsibility to ensure that my use of restrictive practice is considered and compassionate and with a clear understanding of the legal powers involved. And I'm very lucky to be able to build that into my training. I'm also less than full time, in large part to create space for the other parts of my life. So it's keeping all those things in balance. I think the creative path that I've ended up in has been harder in some ways, but actually each of those aspects builds in a diversity and a strength to my clinical practice and has become incredibly rewarding.
Thank you, Chiara. Laura, I wonder if you could tell us what the PTC has been doing and what are the challenges and opportunities that you see now, which can impact the future of the profession?
So, as well as organising the conference, the PTC have been really busy attending committees and working groups all over the college and representing trainees. We've been looking at study leave and the reasonable adjustments process for exams. We have been working on less than full-time representation on our committee. We've been working on ideas for exam resources and the portfolio working groups and representing trainee views on the College Review of Physicians Associates. I think we are all facing challenges personally and professionally at the moment with ever-increasing pressures from so many sides, and it can be really difficult to work under those circumstances. I hope, though, that this gives us an opportunity to reflect and redefine our roles as psychiatrists as truly holistic professionals who give the best care they possibly can to patients. There are opportunities for research, which is so important to strengthen the evidence base and improve the treatments we can offer. There's also an increasing awareness of public mental health, which will be invaluable in improving the mental health of the whole population. There's also an opportunity to reflect personally and decide how to look after our own well-being to build a sustainable career that enables us to be better clinicians. Ultimately, for me, when the outside world is making too much noise and the pressures are increasing, I try to focus on three things which I think will guide my future as a psychiatrist. The first is to purely focus on the patient in front of me, to try and understand their experiences, valuing them as the experts in their own experiences, to try and work together to reach their own individual goals. Then I turn my focus inwards and reflect on my own well-being and what is important to me as a doctor, but also as a person, working out how I can look after myself and protect what I need to protect, as well as the qualities that I have to offer. And thirdly, I look outwards. Are there things I could change or qualities that I have that could help make improvements to psychiatry as a profession? Working as a trainee comes with many challenges, but also many opportunities for the next generation of psychiatrists.
Thanks, Laura. It's with this lovely end note from Laura that we end our podcast today, in which we reflected about some important topics for the next generation of psychiatrists. You can follow the PTC on X at RC Psych Trainees, and future psychiatrists can also follow our email newsletter and the registrar, our quarterly publication, which is available on the RC Psych webpage. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we hope to see you in Leeds on the 25th and 26th of April. It was great to be your host today. Take care.